On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
I remember the story when Donald Trump took his family out to eat at a Mexican restaurant, and Trump had the combination platter. He had the burrito, the chimichanga, and the enchilada came with the rice and beans. No one really likes the rice and beans, but it comes with everything, no matter what you order. A hot dog, yeah, rice and beans. Fried egg, yeah, rice and beans. Everything comes with rice and beans. And what's the deal with refried beans? Oh, come on. Who came up with that dish? Refried beans. We're going to fry your beans, which sounds like a horrible thing. We're going to fry your beans, and then we're going to put them on the plate, let them sit there. They're going to refry them again. And I'm going to serve it to you. We could refry them a third time, but there comes a point. When you're, you know, refry, we get it. Okay, it's refried. And then they put it on the plate, and it looks like it's re-eaten. It looks like somebody ate your beans already. They're all mashed up, and they look like they've been regurgitated. Excuse the expression, but that's exactly what refried beans look like. Like someone ate the beans and regurgitated them, and then the chef said, well, don't throw it out. We'll just refry them and serve them to the next. That's what they do. Lord knows what they do with the rice. Anyway, Trump takes his family out to dinner. He has a nice Mexican meal. The server brings over the check, and Trump expects Mexico to pay for it. Am I confusing that with the wall? No, wait, the wall was by Pink Floyd.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Is Pink Floyd going to pay for the wall?
Whatever.
Morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, I guess. My mother used to, when I was a little child, when anybody came over to the house, my mother used to ask people to remove their shoes. And then I would take it a step further. I'd ask everybody to remove their pants. And my mother said, no, that's not a thing. You don't ask people to remove their pants. But I was a child. What did I know? I had a friend when I was growing up. That's the end of the sentence. I had a friend when I was growing up whose parents had a living room. This is a true story. I am not making this up. And by saying that, I'm insinuating that everything else that I say has been made up. But no, I'm not making this up. They had a living room. And it was a formal living room. But the lights were never on in this room. It looked like you were approaching a museum exhibit. There was actually, and I'm not kidding, the room was roped off. There was actually a rope that went across, it was like a nice rope, a pretty rope, that went across the threshold of the entire room entering into this living room. And you literally could not go in. And obviously it was to keep the kids out of the living room. That was their formal living room. I never saw it being used, never saw a light on, never saw a person in it. And here's the odd part. The furniture was covered in plastic. Now, I know that was a thing back then when I was growing up. In your formal living room, you covered your couch in plastic. I know people that never, ever sat on that couch. The plastic never came off. They buy this expensive sofa with this ultra expensive upholstery made from crushed velvet and velour from Persia, I don't know, and then covered it in plastic, and the entire life of the couch never saw the upholstery, ever. I know people who have their good dishes, their china, and I don't know why China is, that entire country is responsible for good dishes. I think China was actually, the reputation of China was built on the good dishes. I know families that have never broken out the good dishes ever. They have the good dishes, they're in the cabinet, but they've never been used, ever. Nobody has reached the heights of grandeur in order to actually use the good dishes. Why have the good dishes? I don't know. It's a security thing. If we ever have somebody come over who is worthy of the good dishes, darn it, we've got the good dishes, and that's all we need to know. Never going to use them, but no, we got them. And who has to come over for you to break out the good dishes? The President of the United States? Not anymore. If Trump came over to my house, I'd break out the worst dishes I could find. Good dishes for him? No. You do not rate good dishes, my friend. That's how I rate people. Do you like these people? Not for good dishes, no. No, I don't. No, 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 no. How about her? How about that sexy woman? Yeah, good dishes. Yeah, we're going to break out the good dishes for her. The good dishes, man. That was kind of sexist, wasn't it? Oh! Yeah, I know. I'd break out the good dishes for her. Ron, are you in love? Would you actually break out the good dishes for her? Depends. It depends. Probably. It depends, though. Possibly. Once you break out the good dishes, it's all over. You've broken out the good dishes. You've broken the seal. Then they're not good dishes anymore. You can't touch. You have to buy more dishes. You can't reuse the good dishes. That was the rule when I was growing up. There were a lot of strange rules when I was growing up. Ugh. I was told not to run with scissors. And you know what? I get it now. Not that I ever ran with scissors and had an incident because of them, but when I became an adult, I started realizing you can actually get hurt if you're running with scissors. When I was a kid, it was like, well, what's going to happen? I'm going to fall down, the scissors are going to stab me or something. Go on, game and break. But I don't run with scissors, man. Don't run with scissors. God, that should be one of the Ten Commandments. It should be the 11th commandment. It should. Honor thy partner in your corner. No, that's a square dance. Honor or something. Do not covet your neighbor's good dishes. And number 11, don't run with scissors. That's obvious. I guess it's obvious so they wouldn't put it in the Ten Commandments, because, I mean, all the other stuff in the Ten Commandments, you actually could do. I actually have done a lot of them wrongly already. But if you made the 11th commandment, don't run with scissors, I think most people would say, well, duh, of course you don't run with scissors. Why even bother putting it in the Ten Commandments? Or it could be an entire section in the Bible. It could be Genesis, Leviticus, Scissorus. I think there was a Scissorus, actually. He was the Greek god of running with scissors, if I recall. If I recall properly, and I know I don't. Hey, let's go to the White House. It is a circus, and I'm going to prove to you why it is a circus. The head clown would be Donald Trump, Lion Don, with the big shoes, the big feet. Obviously, you know what that means. Big feet, little hands. That was his Indian name, by the way. Bigfoot, little hands. come over here. Come over here to the papoose, Bigfoot Little Hands. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders. It's a lot of names thrown in for basically nothing underneath. She would be the spokes clown. What is the point? What is her point? Everything you say to her, she's so defensive. I could never imagine being married to her. Coming home from work, and she comes home from work, and you say, "Hi, dear, how was your day?" "Why, what are you asking me for?" "What, I don't know. I'll have to check it out." There's no, what do you ask? Why are you asking me that? Stop being so defensive, Sarah. "Sarah, you want to go upstairs and fool around on the bed?" "Why are you asking me that? I'll get back to you. Ask somebody else. Stop asking me that." "Oh, Sarah, you're my wife. Why are you talking to me like that?" She's so defensive. Defensive people are always hiding something. And she's obviously hiding something. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, are you serious? Man, this is like the lying squad. She went to school to learn how to evade the question. She does very well with it. She evades very, very well. Anyway, here's what bothers me incredibly about this sitting, lying president. The entire campaign originally was built on building. Donald Trump was supposedly a master builder. They got the second part of the master wrong. Not master builder, master something else, but you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, we'll just bypass that joke completely. Ask your friends what Ron meant by saying that. Trump doesn't really build buildings. He puts his name on them. He has other people build them. He puts his name on them, and then doesn't pay anybody for building the buildings or for even putting the name on the buildings. Anyway, this lying Trump guy spent the entire presidential campaign talking about building a wall. "We're going to keep the Mexicans out, along with their enchiladas, and we're going to build a wall. And it's going to be a beautiful wall, be the most beautiful wall you have ever seen, with stained glass." I don't know what that meant. A beautiful wall, nice and high. That way, no one can climb the wall. Right. And we're going to build it along the entire border, like the Great Wall of China. And we're going to build the wall, but the Mexicans are going to pay for it. And who's going to pay for it? The Mexicans. And who's going to pay for it? The Mexicans. This is him at a rally. And who's going to pay for the wall? The Mexicans. Guess what? Mexicans not paying for the wall. They immediately said they weren't. They even used profanities. They didn't say hell no. They said fuck no. I mean, they're not paying for the wall. Apparently, they're not paying for the wall. Donald Trump now apparently is embarrassed, apparently. But he's still sticking by that wall thing. So rather than spend the money to beef up the security along the border, etc., he just wants to build something, wants to build a wall. I find it humorous, and a lot of people do as well. I agree that the border security must be tended to and supported, but we don't have to go building skyscraper walls unless you're going to put apartments in them, which I don't think you're going to do. So Mexico's not going to pay for it. So Trump, what he did was, in this spending bill that keeps the country solvent through September of this year, $1.2 billion have been appropriated for the wall. Do you know who pays for that wall? We do. Now Trump has turned to the military. He wants to take money out of the military budget to build the wall. Everybody is saying in Congress, you can't do that. That's for the military. The wall is not the military. Yes, Trump says, but the wall is security. It's national security. Is it? Is it national security? Do the Mexicans who somehow get through the wall or the fence, Are they here to take over the country? Do they rush over the wall or the fence and say, "Let's take over. I claim this country for Mexico." What kind of national security are you talking about? So Trump wants to take the money away from the veterans, the armed services, the military, security of our country, indeed, overseas, war that we'll probably get into before Trump's term is over. Not because we should be at war, because it takes the heat off of his Stormy Daniels controversy. I wouldn't put it past Trump to start a war just so people don't think about the Stormy Daniels thing anymore. Or don't think about the Russian collusion thing anymore. We'll throw their attention to a military skirmish, a nuclear military skirmish. That way people will forget about the Russia thing and the Stormy Daniels thing. I wouldn't put it past him. I would not put it past him. Here's what you should be pissed about. Ron's telling you what you should be pissed about because apparently some of you don't know on your own. You should be pissed about that you have to pay for the wall. Now, maybe you're saying to yourself, I believe that there should be a wall, and I have no problem paying for it. Even if you say that, yes, but there are 2 million sound bites of Trump saying, we're going to build the wall, and the Mexicans are going to pay for it. That's a promise. No, you faltered. You're wrong. You got into the White House with your biggest campaign promise that you can't do. We're paying for the wall, not the Mexicans. Thank you, Don. Like I have extra money to pay for a wall. I can't even pay for Walmart or Walgreens. Everything's a wall. Don't wall me to death here. All right. Did you have fun? Did you have a good time? All right, that's enough. That's enough. I think I've said enough for now. Let's move on, please. Let's move on with our relationship.
Ron Van Dam likes to treat every listener as someone with whom he is having an intimate, personal relationship. Although no money changes hands, there are fewer sticky bodily fluids, about half as many apologies, and he probably won't have to get rid of your body in the long run. Other than that, it's a pretty standard relationship for Ron. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey, what's up? We do this every single weekday. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
And it's absolutely free for you. Unless you're paying for the wall, then it's costly. So just why not come here every day and we can just hang out together for like half an hour or something. Doesn't take a lot of time. Why don't you play this show while you exercise? Get something out of it at least. Do some push-ups or some squats or, you know, whatever, you know, jumping jacks while I do the show. And when the show is over, you stop exercising. Now you're physically fit, you're healthier, and I've totally ruined your mind. It's a perfect marriage. A perfect relationship. Apparently you found me. But did you know that we're also found on the Podbean Network? They house over 1,000 of our episodes that you can listen to at any time for absolutely free. Not that you'd want to, but I'm just saying it's available if you did. Also on SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, the Alexa Amazon app, and all other different outlets all over the social media. Oh, I hate social media. Never mind. You can email me if you have any suggestions for topics, or perhaps you wrote a book or are an expert on something and wish to be interviewed on this program for our many listeners all over this wonderful world of ours. You can contact me at ronvandamshow@gmail.com. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. I won't answer you unless it's valid. Otherwise, I couldn't be bothered. The music in the background is composed and performed by Jason Shaw, who writes much of the music, including the opening theme for this program. Jason's a fine man. He even knows that he's doing this. John Shanahan does your comedy commercials and your announcements and all that. He's brilliant. I mean, you know, I'm like number two here. And, Nicolette and Julie do the are the girls who do the opening announcement on the show. And there are other people that really don't even add up to anything. And then there's me. I just tag along for the fun. I think I mentioned about a week ago on the show that we have a new analytical service that tells us how many people listen to the show every day, all that kind of stuff, and where they live and on what platform they're listening to hear the show. It's kind of very freaky in a way. It kind of proves that they do really track you. As much as we have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners in this country, which I'm very thankful for, it's about time, actually, we are heard in other countries, and we have these strange pockets across the globe of people that actually listen to this show in the United States. This show comes out of the United States. I don't know if you knew that. But there are people in other countries who listen to this on a regular basis. And I'm floored by that. Because I guess they speak English. I mean, otherwise, what's the point of listening to this? Because I only do the show in English. I don't know if you know that. But there are people in other countries. I find it awkward. It's awkward. It's just odd to me. I don't understand why. I swear, when I get up in the morning, I don't say to myself, I got to listen to that podcast coming out of Herzegovina. I love that Herzegovinian podcast. Do you understand the language? No, I don't. I just love that show. It's so odd to me. It makes no sense. And that's what this show is all about. This show makes no sense. And life makes no sense. And the things that go on around us make no sense. Not all of it, but most of it makes no sense. We just become very used to things that make no sense, and then it becomes normal. It's like Donald Trump. I hate to harp on him, but he kind of throws himself in my face on a daily basis, so it's not my fault. And it's not the news that throws him in my face. It is him himself, with his tweets and his twats and his statements and his little spokespeople and the people he throws out to go to the news shows to talk about him. Trump loves to talk about himself, and he makes sure that I know how wonderful he is in his mind. But it has become normal in this country to be abnormal. As a matter of fact, when Trump does something that makes sense, that makes news. What happened? Somebody does something that makes sense, and that's a big news story. Because we are so used to things being screwed up all the time that when something goes well, it's the opposite of news. News is stuff that's out of the ordinary. A man in Vermont was found with 72 dead cats in his living room. with the upholstery completely covered in plastic. That's news because we don't expect people living in their houses to have 72 dead cats in their living room. So that's out of the ordinary. You don't hear on the news, Bob came home from work and had a spaghetti dinner, and that's breaking news. That's normal. That's not news. Trump has turned that around. Trump's normality is incredibly stupid, inane, self-indulgent stuff to rattle people. Trump is the ultimate junior high school student who bullies in the schoolyard and does things in the classroom to disrupt everybody and then smiles about it with this smirk on his face like, I disrupted things. I'm so wonderful. I disrupted things. And I know I'm right because I'm wonderful. This is the guy that you want to expel from the school, but we made him president. But when Trump does something normal, and to be honest with you, I can't think of anything as an example right now that he did as normal. And isn't that sick in itself? But that becomes news when he does something normal. You go, whoa, he did something normal. I'm floored by all of this. I'm a flooring guy. I should be in the flooring business. Anyway, we're going to turn to our guest after this short commercial break, and then there you go. This is, there you have it. Does it sound like I'm not prepared?
To create each episode of the Ron Van Dam Show, Ron wakes up early, heads into the studio, discusses the important issues of the day, interviews fascinating guests, then finishes his show and gets up and puts on some clothes. Try getting that image out of your head for the rest of the day, suckers! You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Dr. Dustin Deming joins us now. He's a gastrointestinal oncologist at the University of Wisconsin, the Cancer Center. And we're talking about National Colon Cancer Awareness Month, which is every month, let's face it. But we've just said it's March. Colon cancer, extremely popular. I mean, I don't mean that to put that in the wrong way, but this is a situation that, like, everybody should be concerned about.
Unfortunately, it's an all too common disease, being the third leading cause of cancer for both men and women, and unfortunately, the second leading cause of cancer-related death.
Mm. And this is usually an age-related situation?
So about 90% of patients who develop colorectal cancer are over age 50, and so that's why it's so important for people over that age to get colonoscopies.
Yes, and your family physician should say to you, hey, you should have this test done. I mean, actually, we're telling everybody so that they say to their family physician, is it time for me to get this test? But that's kind of a relationship doctor kind of thing where it's time, right?
Definitely. So there are national guidelines that your physician should be following that definitely recommend colonoscopy for everyone starting at age 50. Mm-hmm. And then if people have family histories, potentially even at an early age, yeah. An earlier age.
Okay. You know, it's interesting you say the phrase family history. I'm in that category of the testing, let's say. I'm in that age category. And I don't know my family's history. A lot of people from that generation, that kind of thing wasn't talked about at the dinner table or otherwise. Usually the kids were purposely not told what the condition of the parents were because it was none of their business. Of course, nowadays, totally the opposite. Do you find that to be true?
That is definitely the case. You know, now with social media, just about everybody knows when people are going through a cancer diagnosis.
Right.
But, years ago, that was definitely not the case.
And that's something you certainly told your kids about. And, yeah, I know very little about my family's medical history because it just... It was not for me to know. So that's interesting, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but fortunately, if things are discovered, then they can be treated. If they're not discovered, then you get to a point where it's very difficult to treat. So that's the key, too, isn't it?
That is definitely the case. So when it, fortunately for the majority of people diagnosed with colon cancer now, they're actually being diagnosed either with polyps or cancer as part of a screening program. When they're diagnosed on a screening program, those hopefully are being caught before their cancer,
yes.
Or even if things have already progressed to cancer, that it's being caught at an earlier stage where it can be cured.
Yeah.
In general, when cancers are found because they cause symptoms for a person,
mm-hmm.
those cancers tend to be a much later stage and much more difficult to cure.
Yeah. There's something recently that came out where you do it at home, where you send in a sample to an address, and that's your screening. And I was quite amazed that something like that at times takes the place of something else that's a little bit more involved, let's say. What are your views?
Mm-hmm.
What are your views on that, and what should people know about that home screening that they may not understand is not always applicable?
So the home screening does not replace colonoscopy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good alternative for people who can't get a colonoscopy for one reason or another. The major reason why it doesn't replace colonoscopy is that test is good at detecting cancer. So if a cancer has already formed, the test is actually quite good at that.
Mm-hmm.
But what we really want to do is detect polyps.
Ah.
So if we can detect abnormal growths before they become cancer and remove them, then the patients actually never get cancer.
Right.
And so it's much better to have a preventative test than have a test that just identifies cancer when it's there.
All right, my next question to you, and please excuse my candor. Why can't there be a simpler way for me to clean my body out? I guess I'll say it directly. That seems to be what bothers most people. What some of them can't handle that the cleaning out process. Are they coming up with a simpler way of getting rid of that stuff so you can do your probe? I don't mind doing the thing with. That I don't mind, but the cleaning out process is intolerable for a lot of people.
So that is definitely the case. What we're dealing with is kind of a mechanical problem, meaning that unfortunately all of us are carrying around a lot more stool than we need, and that stool gets in the way from the colonoscopy being able to see what it needs to see.
Yeah.
And so the only way to make a colonoscopy work is to get the bowels completely cleaned out.
Yeah.
Now, there are some secrets to helping with that prep. If you start a liquid diet a couple days ahead of time, that actually helps decrease the burden of stool that's there.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that can be helpful is many people try to take the prep all at once.
Yes.
And sometimes it's better to actually divide the prep up and take some the night before and then some the morning before the colonoscopy.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was
told. So dividing up the prep can make things a lot more tolerated, or a lot better tolerated.
I'm still going to the bathroom every 10 minutes. It doesn't make a difference. I wish they could just invent a giant vacuum cleaner that sucks that stuff out of you, and we're done with it. But I guess if you want to go in on it with me, that's fine. I'll fund it, and your name can go on it, and we'll be good. Okay. Where do we get more information about this?
So there's some great patient-friendly resources from some of the advocacy groups, Fight Colorectal Cancer at fightcolorectalcancer.org, and then also the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
Great. And the bottom line message is, if you're of age or approaching of age, do it because it's important. And when you do it, you're good usually. So you know, just do it. Thank you so much for your time today, Doctor.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. There you have it. There you go. There you have it. There you go. There you go. There you have it. There you have it. There you go. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I look forward to spending time with you again tomorrow. Do we have an appointment together? I think we do. Until then, I wish you peace.